folks, and here we are, ready for another episode of the Positude Podcast. I'm your host, Maggie Hart. Wow, what a great week it's been, huh? Whether you agree or disagree, I hope that you've gotten something positive out of this week so far. I've been in a lot of pain, but I am healing slowly, and things are getting better, and you know what? I choose not to be miserable about it. I mean, I could be, right? We all could be. Some of us are. And I've had some experiences with those types of people this week, as I'm sure you have as well. But you know what? At the end of the day, you give what you get, and you reap what you sow. So if you're going to throw all that negativity out there, that's just what you're going to get back. And I'm not playing the game. As tough as things have been lately, just because I haven't been very comfortable, things are improving and things are getting better, and I'm just not going to be miserable about it. I'm tired of it, you know. It's taken a little bit longer than what I thought because of this recent setback where I fell again, but guess what? Or slipped again. But guess what? It's not the end of the world. There are people out there running around with much less than what I have and are in much more dire circumstances health-wise, whether or not it be self-inflicted, i.e. jabby, or not. The fact remains that people are suffering all over this country and all over this planet every single day, and you know what? I'm lucky to be here, and I'm lucky to be in the shape that I'm in, and that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Now, I'm not saying that I don't have my occasional moments and my hot mess seconds where I talk to my friends and my loved ones, and I'm like, what the hell? Come on, I've had enough already. But honestly, it's pretty short-lived. Throughout the course of my day, I try and be as positive as possible, especially because of the situation that I'm in. I'm not in a position where I can be alone and grumpy all the time when I want to be, but I don't want to be. And that's one of the things we're going to touch on tonight, is a lot of people are storing trauma, holding trauma, just letting all of that stress and negativity creep in, pile up, and or they're just in a false sense of hope, that hopium that all of those people out there want to sell you for hundreds of dollars and buy a vitamin on the side for good measure. But for instance, with myself, some of the injury that I have, even though I slipped, is related to some of the stuff that I've gone through the past year. There's stored trauma in your body that can make it difficult for you to heal more quickly sometimes. And not only stored trauma, but we're humans. We're all energy. You hear me say that all day long, but we also have cellular memories. And when we've suffered something or gone through something that wasn't the most pleasant, if we don't stop, balance, and filter it out on a regular basis and make sure we get to the root of the issue that's caused us the stress or the discontent, that can manifest in the body in disease. You've been hearing me talk about this stuff for years. It's not always just a physical disease, i.e. cancer or something else horrible. It could also be manifesting in your body in the form of a physical ailment, like, oh, a backache, what I'm suffering from now, my back and my leg from my most recent adventure where I slipped. Before it was just the leg of the knee and part of the back, and now it's just all back and leg. So I did some breath work and some prayer work and meditation, and I thought that I had cleared most of that. But since I've fallen, as I've been doing my prayer work and my meditation, my breath work is super duper important. I realized that I was revisiting some situations from the past year that I was really angry about. Like, really angry, felt betrayed, hurt, the whole gamut of emotions because of the way that people had treated me. And I thought I was over all of that. And when I realized that my healing was not being as quick as I would like it to be, and I think I alluded to this or actually made mention of it last week on the show, that it's taken a little longer than expected, I really focused on that and I zoomed in on it and I pinpointed it. Why? And what I've realized is the past couple of weeks since I've fallen, these certain memories, there's a couple of scenes that keep replaying in my head over and over, and I'm like, aha, you didn't get rid of all that baggage, did you? You thought you did. So as good as we are and as experienced as we are, and this is why I share these stories with you, is because we can learn and grow together. And I've said it for years, I'm not going to be that guru up on the mountain with you, but I can help you and I will help you. And you don't need to do $2,500 for a class for me to help you. $2,500 seems to be the magic number because the internet is literally flooded with holistic practices and classes and retreats and workshops. And they always try and hook you with the, oh, we've got a 3-day free deal, which was the case of the one that I checked out this week, or we've got a free 1-hour seminar. But at the end of their spiel, the bottom line is they want you to pay money, and it's usually pretty big money. And I am not opposed to anybody making an honest living. We just talked about that maybe 2 weeks ago. And you guys know where I stand on that. Everybody should be able to make a decent, honest living. But sometimes we're victims of, if we were to sign up for some of these programs, nothing less than highway robbery. Why? Because these are all things that you can do yourself with some conscious prayer, meditation, breath work, and somebody to help guide you. So most of these programs offer you some kind of fancy-dancy certificate at the end of it. And, oh, you passed our program, and look how much you've healed, and all of this wonderful things. And that's your trophy at the end of the day. That's something, I guess, you can be proud of if you've engaged in a program that has been truly beneficial to you and wasn't just a regurgitated, rehashed mix-mosh of stuff that's been out for 20, 30, 40, 50, even centuries. Never mind years, and something that people practice regularly, let's say in the 70s, as part of their daily routine. And now we have these people from the 2025s, the 2020s, and they're reading all of these books, and they're doing things like tapping. Tapping's one that's big now again, too. But stuff that people used to do in the 70s and 80s, and we used to call them hippies. I was never a grass eater. I never wanted to be labeled a hippie by any way, shape, form, but I'm changed, and I grew into somebody who likes holistic stuff, and I know that the value of that is very important. There are storehouses of value in some of these holistic healing methods. Some of them not so much. Some of them have greater success rates than others. Every single one of them depends on two things: the individual who's at play and the teachers or the information that they're gleaning from these internet websites. Site programs. So you have a couple factors in there, but I did a program maybe a year ago. I did a show on it, but anyway, the lady talked to me and she was like, why are you even calling me? And you don't need this. In fact, you should be teaching your own stuff. You don't need this. And I said, well, I just basically wanted to see what you had. I was testing her. I wanted to see what her program entailed. Was it of value? Was it legitimate? Was it something that possibly I could pass on to some of my clients as a legitimate training tool to help them if they didn't want to spend all that time one-on-one with me, or if they wanted to learn in their own time, 2 o'clock in the morning, because I didn't have the classes set up yet at that time. They're coming. I've got lots of surprises coming. Stuff that I've been talking about and wanting to do for years, I'm on the cusp of bringing all that to fruition. And some of it is out there, you just don't know about it yet, but you will. So anyway, what do we want to do? We want to heal. I recognize that there was a couple scenarios that just popped up in my head, and boy, they were reliving all of the same emotions that I felt while I was standing there going through the situations that I was encountering. And I'm good. They were still there. I hadn't released them fully. They weren't as intense as they were when I did my breath work and meditation several months ago and tried to release most of it, but the root was still there. So I had to dig deeper, and I had to do some more work and feel that and let those emotions go and work through it and let it come to the surface and get rid of it. So that's one of the things that I teach. I have so much stuff. You would be amazed. Between spiritual warfare and anxiety and nightmares and health issues and relationship issues. And yes, I am certified to be a life coach. I don't have some bubblegum certificate. I've got the schooling behind me, just so you know. And I can do ministerial work in many different aspects. I can bury you. I can marry you. I can do spiritual warfare. I could do lots of stuff. I can teach at a church. I can preach at a church. Like a brick and mortar, and holistic healing, just so many different modalities that have come to be part of my toolbox with prayer. So I do it a certain way. And I don't use any tools as far as anything spiritually related, but I do use essential oils and tuning forks and some sound healing tools when needed. Do I have a Reiki table? Yeah, I absolutely do. Do I need it? I use it from time to time. Depends on the client and what they're going through. Is it a physical malady? Is it a mental malady? Is it a combination thereof? Those things come in useful. I do not use, as you know, tarot cards or anything like that. Ouija board. No. Where I'm going with all this is so much of us are wanting to heal. And we're recognizing, because the holistic approach has taken such a dramatic turn the last several years. It's been growing in intensity and growing in frequency. Mostly, actually, this is kind of surprising, but millennials are more liable to use or turn to a holistic or alternative treatment over a traditional doctor. That's kind of surprising to me. But in a way, it's not, because they're open to try new things. It still kind of sticks in my ribs a little bit, because I would think that the Gen Xers and the people my age that have been around the block, that are seeing the degradation of the healthcare system from when they were a small child and the treatment that they received then, albeit not exemplary by any means, shape, or form, maybe back then, but certainly a lot better than it is right now. And maybe the older folks that can't afford some of these expensive treatments, people on limited incomes that can't afford to go to the doctor, would be choosing holistic. And we see that as well. It's a broad scope, but I'm very surprised at the millennials. I'll take them. I'll take them all day long. Anybody who wants to try what we have to share, and anybody that wants to not be big pharma, I'm all for it. The problem is most of those kids have been jabbed. So their healing is going to be limited in most cases. In nature, always miracles. Are there miracles? Do you want to call them miracles? Let's call them miracles, but miraculous healings. Healings that don't have a reason for. Somebody prayed and sent energy over that person and boom, their cancer was gone. Holistic cures. But for people that have taken the jabby jab, unfortunately, it's not going to be as effective for them unless they're able to clear their body of all of the toxins or most of the toxins. So, you know, your pine needle tea, all of your detoxing, changing your diet, all of your mental energy, prayer work, your cognitive decision to switch the energy and see the results that you want, positive thinking, all of that comes into play wrapped up in a big shiny red bow. But unfortunately, there are some of us that are going to be more successful in our endeavors than others based upon what we still have running around in our bloodstream and in our circulatory system and in our brain, in our arteries. And this breaks my heart, no pun intended, but this is where I become very, very sad. And I get very angry at the fact that we have people that are suffering needlessly and aren't healing because of what they put into a jab. There was a situation that I dealt with this week and I'm still dealing with, of somebody that my kids were very, very close to. And that person's child grew up in my house, as did so many. That person was one of a group that grew up here, that was raised here, that spent years with me, and their home also was a haven at times for some of the children. And that person may not make it till tomorrow, and I'm 99% sure that it's because of the jab and multitude of jabs. So what can I do in that situation? I can pray on them, I can pray over them and send energy from a distance, but that's about all I got right now. And it's so unfortunate, because they wouldn't, I don't think, be in that position if they hadn't have made the choices that they made. And that just, oh, it irks me. It really does. So anyway, know that you can get a hold of me at Maggie, M-A-G-G-I-E _ Heart, H-E-A-R-T, at Outlook.com for all of your spiritual, mental, physical, and emotional needs. And rest assured, even though, like we were speaking before about the classes, I didn't have anything in place for those parameters at that time, I do have classes that are available, and I do work one-on-one with my clients, both over the internet, on the phone, and in person. And I also have some bigger classes where we can do group sessions. I'm still available for lectures. I still do book signings, although I haven't recently just because of time. It's been a pretty busy couple of years, but think of maybe doing a book signing of my children's books for your kids' birthday party. There are lots of things that we can do to get to know each other better and spend some time together and help each other. The biggest thing thing that I have for you, though, is not to sell you something that is not going to work for you, and not to take $2,500 of your hard-earned money in these very strenuous economic times to promise you something. What I saw in the class that I kind of surveilled was a three-day free training, was people were absolutely over the moon at the fact that these people were teaching simple breath work, unless they were AI bots or plants, were like, oh my gosh, I've never felt so good in my life after that three-minute session, and I can't wait to take the class, and I can't wait to join your program. Well, we know some of those are, they're fakes, they're phonies, but the people that truly feel as though that three-minute learning session helped them and want to spend $2,500 for a class still don't have the discernment inside to know that there are techniques that they can be taught that can be used both alone and with a class, or alone and with a teacher, once you get the gist of it, per se. And it's not going to cost anywhere near that amount of money. Jesus didn't charge. So while I can recognize and I appreciate the fact that we all need to make money here and we all need to charge for certain services, raping the public, it's not something that I want to be a part of. It goes against everything that I stand for. So in relation to that, I was doing a lot of research and have been doing a lot of research about the past teachings. We've spoken lots of times before on this program about things that were possibly left out of the Bible or changed in the Bible, scriptures, gospels that were left out for certain reasons because they may have contained some valuable information. The healing and the modalities that are indicated there in the Bible are primarily in the New Testament scriptures. We have many passages that are spoken of in the Bible where in the traditional translations, i.e. the King James, it's not told how we're to do these things, for instance, prayer and meditation, because I have some examples that I think are pretty valuable for us to understand. There are instances in the Bible where Jesus says to do something, or one of the disciples tells to do something, but it's not explained how to do that. I can appreciate the fact that back then we were in a totally different environment, mindset, lifestyle. There was no technology. Everybody lived a certain way. And while I can recognize and appreciate the fact that humanity has fallen away from so many of the traditional practices that we can assume and also glean based on reading scriptures that used to be part of people's daily routines and aren't anymore. And there are things that are spoken about in the Bible that it could very well be that Jesus figured the people of the times knew what he was talking about because they already knew how to meditate, let's say, because it was part of their daily practices already. Whereas today, we don't know how to do that. And so we need to be taught how to do that. Over the centuries, things have gotten lost. Things have gotten forgotten. Things have gotten twisted. But now, bring somebody back from Jesus's time and tell them to change a carburetor, or tell them to work on a computer, or tell them to navigate their way through a cell phone. It wouldn't be easy for them to do that. They would not have any idea how to do that. Much like we may not be able to understand and navigate the processes that they used to do were we privy to them. I bet people were a lot more spiritual, and I think that some of their practices, some of the things that they were able to do, were taken for granted. Here's the other thing that gets me. Wouldn't God and Jesus have known that this Bible would have come into existence and been carried down throughout the centuries, used by millions to help follow the teachings of God and emanate the example of Jesus? So wouldn't they want that to be an effective tool for people to use, as complete as possible? Having the knowledge that oral tradition wasn't going to be a thing anymore and that we were going to rely on written text? What about the part that says, let the reader use discernment in Matthew 24:15, when they're talking about the abomination that causes desolation? They're encouraging people to use their own judgment. And with all the tricks and tools of the evil one, wouldn't it stand to reason that he would want to take things out that could help God's people thrive, survive, and defeat the evil forces? As much as you may recognize that I'm not an advocate for the Gnostic texts, there are several scriptures that do go into detail, more than the King James Version, of how to do some of these things that I think are worth noting. So first, let's go into some of the examples where Jesus taught but didn't say really how. Meditation and prayer. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. That's Matthew 6:6. He tells what to do, pray privately, but not how to actually breathe, focus, or structure prayer beyond our Father. Fasting. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. He's figuring people know how to fast. He doesn't tell you how. Healing or laying on of the hands. He says they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. That's Mark 16:18, but no instructions on how to do that. No technique, no energy, direction, or duration. Meditating on his word. He quotes the Torah and Psalms about meditating day and night, but gives no method. No breath work, no mantras, no visualization. So the details were either obvious to the people of those times in those cultures, or deliberately they weren't recorded or shared with the rest of us. Jesus, God, and the prophets all did this. Joshua 1:8, meditate on this book of the law day and night. No way how to do it, just to do it. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. But be still could be silence, breath work, contemplation, meditation, no technique is given. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. How to pray continuously. We weren't taught how to do that. Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. But Paul, in this instance, doesn't tell you how to renew it. Jesus, when he talks about faith, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move, and it will move. That's Matthew 17:20. But no idea how to move that mountain. This is something that we've talked about practicing when we talk about our cloud work and our energy work, all of that. These are things that I encourage you to practice. But wouldn't it have been nice if it was in written text and it was just given to us so that we didn't have to figure it out on our own? And why is that? Why do we have to figure it out on our own? Was it not originally there, or was it taken out? Holy Spirit, even. Jesus says, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. That's John 16:13. But not how to discern your spirit versus your imagination. And that's a biggie. So these practical keys are missing. We know the Dead Sea Scrolls line up almost perfectly with the Old Testament, according to experts and scholars. Nicaea, yeah, I mean, it's possible that the Council of Nicaea left some of the stuff out. I've thought that before, but that wasn't what they were about. They were about nailing down Christ's divinity versus Arianism. And also, by then, most of the canon was already in practice by the churches. They were more theological debates, not mass scripture deletions. Gnostic texts, though, have a different vibe altogether. They lean toward the cosmic, secret sayings, experiential mysticism. Gospel of Thomas says Jesus is teaching about the inner kingdom, not the church hierarchy. And they were left out because they didn't fit that doctrine, the unified doctrine of the institutional church, because it was way too mystic, too individualized. So let's look at the Gnostic text just for giggles. Gospel of Thomas 3 says the kingdom is inside of you and it is outside of you. When you come to know yourselves, you will realize it is you who are the children of the living Father. So that's self-knowledge, meditation, but not temple rituals. Thomas 70. If you bring forth what is within you, what you have will save you. If you do not bring it forth, what you do not have within you will destroy you. That's inner work, releasing suppressed energy and emotion. The Gospel of Philip talks about sacraments as inner mystical realities, not just church rituals. Baptism is described as the light entering the soul, not the dunking of the water. The Gospel of Mary Magdalene, even though it's fragmented, Jesus teaches Mary about dissolving the powers or the inner forces and passions through ascent of the soul, very much like somatic and emotional clearing. The Gospel of Truth kind of reads like a meditation book, describing ignorance as fog that clears when you awaken to the light within. The Gnostic texts keep Jesus as a figure and a teacher of direct inner experience, whereas the canon New Testament keeps him as a figure of faith. So in the New Testament, the kingdom of God is within you, Luke 17:21, but in some translations it says it's among you. In Thomas 3, the kingdom is inside of you and it is outside of you. So the canon leaves it vague, but Gnostic doubles down on the inner experience. Light. The New Testament says you're the light of the world in Matthew 5:14, but in Thomas 24, there is light within a person of light, and it shines on the whole world. If it does not shine, it is dark. That's poetic encouragement in the canon, but in the Gnostic, it's inner energy cultivation. Faith and works. In the New Testament, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, nothing will seem impossible. Matthew 17:20. But in Thomas 70, if you bring forth what is within you, what you have will save you. So the canon is externalizing your faith in God, but the Gnostic is your inner activation. Truth and liberation. In the New Testament, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free in John 8:32. But the gospel of truth, the Gnostic, the truth is the mouth of the Father. His tongue is the Holy Spirit. Whoever knows the truth is free. So the canon's kind of short and open-ended, but the Gnostic describes a mystical union process. Prayer. In the New Testament, the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, is structured words. But the Gospel of Mary, in Gnostic, Jesus teaches inner ascent beyond powers and passions, silence more than words. So the canon's giving you a fixed prayer, but the Gnostic points to inner stillness practices. So because we don't know what books were originally considered to be included and whether or not those were the same Gospels that the Gnostics chose to include in their writings, especially given the fact that the Gnostic texts came out like a couple hundred years after the Bible did. Other than the books that are contained in the Apocrypha, we really don't know what the original Gospels were that were considered and what writings they contained, because some of the Gnostic Gospels could have been written after the fact. By the time the Gnostic Bible was written, did times shift again for the people that were living in that environment? After a couple of hundred years, did they start to forget or not include the daily practices that they had when Jesus actually walked the earth? And so they tweaked the text a little bit, or maybe put those in to re-remind people of how they should be living? That's a pretty big mystery. Or were they left out because they gave better detail and instructions as to how to do things that the people in charge that were working on the Bible that we know today didn't want us to have the information for? Human nature and the work of the evil one definitely indicate, in my opinion anyway, that somehow, somewhere, what we have was monkeyed with. Let's think about this. The Dead Sea Scrolls are under such immense protection. Laser beams, things that kill ya, all kinds of really crazy technology that's prohibiting anybody from getting in and trying to steal those documents. While we know that what was discovered insofar as the Old Testament is pretty much as it was written in the Dead Sea Scrolls, what else are in those documents that the powers that be don't want the rest of us to know about? And think about it. How cool would it be if we had the original text, i.e. in the form of a Bible, or our Bible as we know it, that taught us how to do these things like pray, meditate, fast, etc.? We could revert to those original writings as they were written, or at least if they were in more detail, if they were written vaguely, based on the fact that the people of the times knew what they were talking about already. But we could use that knowledge and follow those practices to heal ourselves now and do many miraculous, seemingly miraculous things. So there are slightly different versions of Psalms, Isaiah, and Deuteronomy in the Dead Sea Scrolls based on our version that we have, but for the most part, it's the same. But most of the scrolls weren't discovered until 1947, so the earlier biblical scholars didn't have access to those, and a lot of the scrolls were just tiny little pieces, so it's kind of hard to put them together like a puzzle and make out what they actually were, and aside the missing part. And then we also have the bias, because scholars usually looked at them like, does this confirm the Bible that we know? Did they really ask, what does this reveal about the alternative thought processes? Keep in mind that some sections of those scrolls were hidden for decades because of academic priority disputes. Scholars could have missed or possibly even downplayed the mystical or sectarian teachings because they didn't fit that later orthodoxy, or also because the scrolls are bits and pieces, fragmented and cryptic. So the later religious authorities canonized only some texts and interpretations, emphasizing the moral and historical readings, but they kind of flattened out the mystical, esoteric, or alternative messianic teachings. Interesting, right? The community rule that's in the scrolls has more of a mystical spin than mainstream Judaism, and it focuses on inner purification, secret knowledge, ritualized spiritual exercises, and it teaches that salvation, or what we would call enlightenment, comes through discipline, insight, and community secrecy, not just obeying the laws. What about the war scrolls? That definitely talks about a cosmic struggle, not just earthly warfare. And it shows that some Jewish sects envision spiritual warfare, angelic hierarchies, and divine intervention in practical, ritualized terms. Also suggests that human consciousness and actions can influence cosmic events, a concept that was largely lost in mainstream Bible versions. And oh, isn't that interesting? That's something that I've been talking to you about for months, that human consciousness and action can help influence cosmic events. War scroll. Also, you have those Thanksgiving hymns that are in there. They're basically written as songs of praise, gratitude, and mystical reflection, but the direct mystical experience with God and personal transformation is what's spotlighted. It also hints at inner lights, divine wisdom, and esoteric meditation practices, basically instructions for an internal spiritual journey instead of an external ritual one. The temple scroll, it's a blueprint for an ideal temple and laws, but it combines practical law with mystical symbolism, i.e. the temple is a map of the cosmos, also the human body and spiritual ascent. And it suggests that some laws were encoded with hidden spiritual truths, not just social rules. Sounds like that speaks a little more into the God is in you and the body is your temple stuff, maybe. So for the New Testament, the Gospels that were left out probably had some of that stuff in it, no? And maybe there was some stuff changed in the versions that we have, maybe. We know that we've been lied to about just about everything that we know up to now. So it just makes sense that there would be some stuff there that had been changed or downplayed or ignored or simply kept hidden. Imagine what a world it would be if we knew all this stuff all along since the Bible came out.
Imagine all the people living for today.
Imagine a world where now, when people are becoming more curious about these holistic and natural healing methods, if we could revert back to the original Bible and know how to do all these things. Also, given the fact that what we know about as far as Tartaria, the lost energy, the Tesla stuff, all of that, what about the research now that shows that the pyramids have been there much, much longer than what was originally thought, and that the Egyptians may not have had a hand in building those at all, that they were originally used as some sort of energy transmitters, healing temples, much like our churches, and the bells were used, the conductivity of water, and how every old city anywhere on the planet has a water system going through it or a fountain in the town square that I believed was used to conduct electricity, energy, and probably healing. All right, cannolis, we got a heavy start to today's show. We really did a deep dive here, and I know it got intense. Hopefully you're still with me and hanging on and having fun. You've got your comfy place for the last half hour at least, and you've got your beverage and maybe a little snacky snack. I need to grab myself some coffee and let's get into some current events and fun stuff. I think I've definitely given you enough to think about by way of what we could potentially call Bible conspiracy theory.
Hey, does anybody want coffee? Who wants coffee? I just made a fresh pot of coffee. Does anybody want coffee?
The first clippy of this evening is a really good one. Omar Fateh's Democratic endorsement for primary candidate for mayor of Minneapolis got cold. This is Fox 9.
This all started last month when the party met at Target Center to endorse a mayoral candidate. Fattah won the endorsement over four others, including Fry. Now, at the time, Fry's campaign called the convention extremely flawed and irregular. Those are quotes. The DFL found the convention undercounted by 176 votes and erroneously dropped Dwayne Davis after the first ballot. He's one of the candidates. The party also says organizers lost the delegate credentials book for an entire ward and did not properly secure the check-in sheet. Fattah's campaign is not happy about the move to pull the endorsement. His team sent us a statement saying in part, quote, "Our campaign sees this for what it is, disenfranchisement of thousands of Minneapolis caucusgoers and delegates who represented all of us on convention day. The establishment is threatened by our message." Meanwhile, Fry is also reacting to the decision, saying in part, quote, "I am proud to be a member of a party that believes in correcting our mistakes, and I am glad that this inaccurate and obviously flawed process was set aside." Within the last hour or so, we also received a statement from Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who called the decision, quote, "extremely disheartening." The DFL is also requiring the Minneapolis chapter to submit a best practices plan, as well as a plan for compliance.
I brought to you courtesy of the red, white, and blue.
American history lesson. You don't know nothing about Lady Liberty standing there in a harbor with her torch on high, screaming out to all the nations of the world, "Send me your poor, your deadbeats." And all the nations sent them in here. They come swarming in like ants.
My pappy used to say, "If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, get a hold of Maggie Hart at maggie_HEART at Outlook.com to get it fixed.
One sick bot brings this next clip to us about a lady that's upset over limitations on her EBT card.
Just a PSA for anybody on EBT that has been paying for your nails, lashes, whatever it may be, with your EBT card. You can no longer do that. No. I just went to go get my nails, lashes, and eyebrows done. Went to go swipe my EBT card, and she tells me they no longer accept that. So not only are they taking away junk food, sugary drinks, they are giving us all a time limit with how long we can be on EBT. Now you can't get your nails done with EBT. So I had to use cash out of my pocket for my nails and eyebrows. So now I'm $100 short on my freaking rent that I'm supposed to pay today. They need to figure something out, because this is not okay.
Next, let's do the Trump and Putin dance, courtesy of Fox News.
This joint news conference was anything but. It was not a news conference. There were no questions taken by either leader.
We got more out of Putin than we did from President Trump. And I expect that we'll get the full picture when he talks to Sean Hannity. Very, very grateful that he is going to be giving the full readout here soon.
And I think the big reason we're all kind of reeling right here is because
we know nothing.
Yeah, well, we know nothing.
We have no idea what those points are that agreed on.
We have zero idea.
Yeah, Brian, that was different, for sure.
Everyone else in this room was also surprised.
We are at ground zero as far as knowing exactly what that agreement looks like.
And we don't know if they blew off lunch or not.
The president never misses an opportunity to take questions, and so we're sort of, like, confused by this.
Kellyanne, I'll talk to you.
Look, I think anybody's confused about how this went down is still wondering what happened at the end of that final Sopranos episode.
Ethan Levin, SZ, seems to have some knowledge to share regarding the meeting.
Putin has offered Trump his own mineral deal, which would see the two countries create the strongest alliance in world history. Russia is offering 10 times more minerals than Ukraine, and this would eliminate the Ukraine war debt this year. And just like the Ukraine deal, this one offers a huge partnership between both countries. The two countries would create their own NATO and increase military cooperation. And actually, the Department of Defense this morning ordered all cyber operations to end against Russia for the first time. Russia and the U.S. would become major trade partners and lift sanctions and tariffs on both countries, including including oil. And with Russia's help, the top two oil producers in the world can set the price really wherever they want. And by the way, other countries are already wanting to join this U.S.-Russian alliance, particularly Poland, who, as well as Hungary, have vowed to support this deal and join. And this new alliance, unlike NATO, would not force America to join the other country's war, meaning Putin wouldn't drag America into the Ukraine war. By the way, this also helps the people, not just the government. Putin is suggesting lifting all sanctions, lowering gas prices, reducing visa restrictions, and allowing flights between New York and Moscow for the first time since the Cold War. So, should America take Putin's offer?
And then tongue-in-cheek Newsom K gives a recap of the meeting with Trump and Zelensky.
Here's the news, McKay. The White House meeting between Trump and Zelensky looked more like a reboot than a rerun. Last time they sat down, it was frosty. This time, Zelensky showed up in a sharp suit, no camo, no t-shirt. When the wartime president decides to dress up for jury duty instead of call of duty, you know the tone's different. This time, Zelensky also came with half of Europe's leaders backing him. Safety in numbers, McKay. Trump called it a very good conversation and pitched what he described as a very good security guarantee. Basically a NATO-like deal. Europe leads, America backs it up, but no official membership. Think of it as the demo version of NATO. Some features unlocked, the rest behind a paywall, McKay. Then came the curveball. Trump put Putin on speakerphone, McKay. Which is awkward since Russia's missiles were actively landing in Kharkiv and Zaporizhia while they were talking. It was basically like putting Zelensky's ex on speaker during date night, except the ex is actively throwing bricks through the window, McKay. Trump said he wants Zelensky and Putin face-to-face within a week or two, maybe even with Trump in the room. Putin's team admitted it was discussed, but didn't commit more. Maybe we'll go on a date than save the date, McKay. Zelensky, for his part, stood firm. No peace deal without a ceasefire first, and no surrendering land. So yeah, a suit, a smile, a speakerphone call, and a possible summit. Progress. Maybe. The whole thing's still diplomacy held together with duct tape and wishful thinking. Now you're informed, McKay.
So since we're talking about Russia, here's how they solve their traffic problems.
Russia has a brick solution for reckless drivers. In Russia, when you cross the road, you'll find bricks lying around. You're supposed to pick one up and carry it while crossing. Why? Because if a driver ignores traffic rules and makes it hard for you to cross safely, you can use that brick to smash their car. And once you've crossed, you have to put the brick back on the other side.
When this baby hits 88 miles per hour, you're gonna see some serious...
Run.
Next up, I have a double shot of hustle, bitch. The first one is your Wi-Fi is tracking your movement.
They're watching you through your Wi-Fi now. Xfinity just rolled out something called Wi-Fi Motion, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It tracks movement inside your home using nothing but your Wi-Fi signals. No cameras, no sensors, just your router blasting invisible waves and reading how they bounce off your body. That's not Wi-Fi anymore. That's a radar. You walk across the room, it knows. You open a door, it knows. You sit still too long, it knows. It's a motion detection through your internet. And the craziest part? It's already built into the router just waiting to be activated. Most people won't even realize they've installed live surveillance in their own home. Xfinity calls it a feature, but this isn't smart tech. It's a silent wireless tracking system. And once your router can map your movements, you're not just connected, you're monitored. Constantly. This is how the surveillance state gets in. Not with cameras, but with conveniences. Not with force, but with features. And by the time people figure it out, the cage is already built.
And the next one, a deadly combination. Bill Gates, BlackRock, and Nestle.
Bill Gates is very interested in your water. While everyone's distracted with indictments and celebrity BS, Bill Gates, BlackRock, and Nestle just quietly teamed up. Yes, Nestle. Same company whose chairman literally said water isn't a human right. And now they're making moves to own it. This isn't speculation. It's already happening. Gates is buying up farmland that sits on major aquifers. BlackRock is pouring billions into water infrastructure. And Nestle? Still still extracting millions of gallons while local communities run dry. They're not just buying land, they're buying access to rivers, lakes, groundwater. They're investing in the tech to monitor, track, and reroute where water flows and who gets it. This isn't about conservation. This is about control. Food already controls people, but water? Water controls everything. You can live without oil. You can survive without power. But water? You've got days. They already run agriculture, finance, and energy. Now they want to own survival itself, and no one's stopping them. This is a hostile takeover of the one thing we need to live. And by the time people wake up, it'll already be gone. Bill Gates.
And from Libs of TikTok official, YouTuber at Real Schlepp is banned by Roblox for exposing child predators.
I have just gotten a legal complaint from Roblox. I'm not even joking. They have sent a cease and desist letter to me, and they've gone ahead and banned every account I own. And you might be wondering, what heinous crime did you commit to possibly deserve that? Well, what I did was get predators arrested on their platform. Actually, six of them. I got six predators arrested within the Roblox community. Some of them, the crimes are so heinous, I can't even say here on TikTok or wherever this is going. And the thing that's crazy about it is that Roblox has taken a more firm action against me, a person getting these people arrested, a person that law enforcement has made public statements saying that they are glad when people like me go ahead and give them information so that they can arrest these people. Roblox has sent me the cease and desist letter, not these predators. That is absolutely insane. And the other thing that's crazy about this is Roblox itself. It is a predator haven. There are games on Roblox like XYZ Public Bathroom Simulator. It has about 7 million visits, and the whole premise of the game is showering together with kids. That is the whole game. If you join it, you're going to see predators, you're going to see naked avatars, you're going to see people peeing and all this sort of weird stuff. If I was a parent and I saw that, I would be outraged. I would be totally outraged. And parents aren't aware of this, and it's so sad. I get emails from kids daily about all the horrible stuff that they're exposed to. I get emails from parents talking about what their kids were exposed to. And there are so many predators on this platform. It is actually unreal. So it's quite crazy to see Roblox go after me, a person trying to get predators arrested off of their platform, then the predators. Why? I don't get it. I don't understand.
Now, I don't know how, in what seems to be less than one generation, we've managed to get our priorities to down ass backward.
You know, I see an iced coffee being made on social media and they're shaking their ice around. I'm like, well, maybe I want an iced coffee now.
This one's a little older, but it's my official iced coffee from Adam Salinas.
While everyone's attention has been on the big, beautiful bill, did you hear about the 130 Iranian nationals that were caught by ICE over the weekend, including a former Iranian Revolutionary Guard member? Major arrests took place in over 9 different states, including Minnesota, Mississippi, Alabama, Texas, California, Arizona, Colorado, and New York. Maran Makari Saheli was an ex-IRGC member and had ties to Hezbollah. He was also a convicted felon who was found with the firearm. Yusuf Mehridino, I think I pronounced that right, he was on the terrorist watch list and was also here under married fraud. Rivar Karimi, he was a former Iranian sniper. These are simply a couple of names that belong to the Iranian people that are here in this country that entered the United States under the Biden administration. And now the DOJ and the border czar, Tom Homan, are declaring that these individuals may be amongst the sleeper cells from Iran that have infiltrated the United States. And Homeland Security and DHS are cracking down on over 1,200 of their potential sleeper cells here in the United States. But obviously, the left-wing media is not reporting on any of this because it makes the DOJ and Tom Homan and the Trump administration look good for protecting our own. But let me know what you think in the comments section. Don't forget to hit that follow button for your daily updates. Well,
if you like Maggie and the sound of her voice and want to keep her airing quality shows, I'd be much obliged if you donate to the network, because those folks are dirt poor and rely on your contributions to keep the lights on.
Probably because he knows the first thing you do when you overthrow a government is seize control of the radio station.
Here's another clippy from Libs of TikTok official. This lady refuses to deal with any Republicans.
I will not hire a Republican. I will not do business with a place that employs Republicans. I will not allow a Republican in my home. These folks will sell a child to a predator for a dollar. Why would you go into a place that hires these people? They have literally said that they don't believe in reality, they believe in alternative facts. You're going to let someone who believes in alternative facts do your taxes? You're going to let someone who believes in alternative facts cook your food? These are people who don't believe in science or medicine. They will let chicken sit at room temperature for weeks because they don't believe that diseases exist. They put profits over people every time. Why would you eat at a Republican establishment? Why would you let your kids go there?
Chicken is here.
Ever notice how every time a Republican takes office, the Democrats start acting like it's the end of the world? I mean, the minute we cut taxes or trim the budget, they start screaming that the sky is falling. Now, don't get me wrong, I admire their consistency. If the stock market surges, they say it's just helping the rich. And if it crashes, they say, yep, that's what happens under Republican leadership. And don't even get me started on foreign policy. A Republican president could be shaking hands with world leaders and signing peace deals, and they'd say, it must be appeasement. But the minute there's tension overseas, they rush to the nearest camera like it's Black Friday, saying, see, we told you the world would catch fire if he was in charge. Now, I've always said, it's fine to disagree on policy. That's democracy. But if your best shot at winning is hoping the American people lose, well, maybe you're in the wrong country.
That Reagan clip was from Official Street Preacher. The next double shot coming at you is about healing. The first one is from a gentleman who uses a pendulum, but has some good points. The second one, oh wait, did you see what I did there? Pendulum points. So yeah, I don't use any tools. You know I don't encourage using them, but the first video is actually older. It looks to be maybe from the 80s. And he's got some useful info. The second one is about manifestation, which is pretty interesting. It's slightly different spin than what I teach, but also there's knowledge there. Both videos are from 37 Stars.
More people than you might imagine have curses upon them. A lot of people did it to themselves. You did it whether you knew it or not. Every time you have ever gotten mad and said, well, I'll be damned, that is a curse upon yourself, and you probably never had a clue what you did to yourself. Let's undo it, okay? We want to transmute. Well, first off, let's neutralize. Let's do it this way. Let's neutralize all curses upon you and wherever you live. Have a very good friend who tells about how I broke four curses on her family who all had bad knees that were kind of crippled up, and they all started getting well. And this had been going on for four generations. She thought she had bad genes. What she had was four family curses. All right, we got that done. We have neutralized the curses. Let's transmute all that energy into fifth dimensional energy. What we find is a lot of folks have self-sabotage mental programs. They have self-hate mental programs, self-destruct, and self-punishment. If a person has self-sabotage mental programs, it probably doesn't matter how many classes they take for self-improvement, how many self-help books they read, how many affirmations they say, and how many prayers they repeat. They're probably going to find some way to screw it all up. Why? Because they have an overriding self-sabotage mentality. What I would like to do is neutralize all self-sabotage, self-destruct, self-hate, self-punishment mentalities, transmute all that into freedom. Now, please understand here. Let me see if I can give you an illustration. You see that I am neutralizing something, and the pendulum is going counterclockwise. That means we are removing an energy that has been used in a non-beneficial manner. Well, visualization plays a big part in this. In my imagination, I'm simply piling this energy up here. So when I get done, I got a great big pile of neutral energy. It's not good, it's not bad, it's just energy. And it will be directed wherever we intend for it to. So we direct it into something positive and beneficial for those we're trying to help. All things are composed of energy, and the intelligent human mind has the ability to change energy. We are simply changing something that has not served people well, or maybe you, and we're changing it into an energy that will serve you a lot better and make your life better. The human mind has the ability to do this, folks. We have the ability to turn this world into a lot better place. Now, there's a thing called thought forms. And thought forms are thoughts that we create and we give energy to, and they really take on a life of their own. If you or your folks you're working on here today have always believed themselves to be a victim, they're right. They've created a thought form that will attract to them the people, the circumstances, and the events that will make them a victim. You might have done the same thing. Well, if you did, it's time to quit. So what we want to do, and I'm going to help you here, but you got to go along with it. Let's transmute all thought forms, suffering, anything of that nature, victimization, anything, codependency, into freedom. Now remember, energy follows thought. If you put your thoughts into you being a victim, by golly, you got to put your thoughts into being free.
God says you may not have anything you want. You may not have anything you want. And I was puzzled by that. And I said, I don't understand. I thought that when you want something, when you need something, when you are hoping for something, you go to God and you ask for it. God says, no, you don't understand how the system works. You don't understand how the system works. Or that even that there is a system. But here's how the system works. Everything you could ever ask for, you could ever have now or ever ask for in the future, you already have right now. You already have all of it. You simply are not experiencing it. Because everything that has ever happened is happening now and ever will happen is happening right now. And so it is for you merely to reach into the sea of infinite possibilities and call forth the reality you choose now to experience. And you do this, you call forth from the sea of infinite possibilities the reality you choose to now experience through three devices, mainly thought, word, and action. That is what you say, what you think or believe, and of course what you do. Now, if what you say is, please give me what I need today to survive, you will have a struggle acquiring what you need today to survive, because the statement comes from a deep underlying thought that you do not now have that, or you wouldn't be asking for it. It is that underlying thought, what Conversations with God calls the sponsoring thought, that has a huge influence on the creation of your moment-to-moment reality. Therefore, if you ask for something, or if you say, I want something, I'll use an example. I want more money. Oh, I really want more money in my life. The universe has only one answer to a statement like that. Indeed, you do. That is correct.
Fever, and I am burning up in here. We all in critical condition, babies. But you can tell me where it hurts, because I got the healing prescription here.
And this is a perfect time to electric slide in Gen X time with Gen X Jono talking about the radio. How apropos. After that last clip.
If you're a former kid of the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, stop scrolling. Here's the deal. Dude, We grew up on radio. Today everyone's got a Spotify subscription. Apple Music, Amazon Music. Today we pick exactly what we want to hear, but growing up, no, we picked the station, if our parents let us. But the songs that came on were as much a surprise to us as anybody. We had no idea what was coming next, and it was kind of awesome. Taping songs off the radio, listening to the DJs, listening to the programs. American Top 40, Casey Kasem, Wolfman Jack, Dr. Demento, Paul Harvey, Johnny Fever, Venus Flytrap, Les Nessman. Here's what I want you to do. Go to the comment section and first read through the comments to see if anybody's listed your favorite radio station, the city you grew up in, and then you comment underneath that. And if somebody hasn't listed your favorite station, 96.5 WCMF in Rochester, 97 Rock in Buffalo, 92 MJQ in Syracuse. Well, then you put it there and just wait for others to add on to your thread. Who loved WLUP? Who loved Chum FM? Let's see if you can find some old friends or make some new ones. See you in the comments.
The entry music, sometimes my halftime music, and the ending music are all provided by my good buddy Pat Carr, a wonderful original musician from Louisiana, now residing in Colorado. You can check him out at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Pat's at AllMusic, Apple Music, YouTube, SoundClick, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes. He is all over the place. Please check him out, support his music, and tell him Maggie sent you. That's my show for tonight, folks. Thanks all for listening. We'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.